Welcome, everyone. It's so wonderful to see faces that I have not seen in a long time and to see faces that are returning. Thank you very much for all of you being here. I also want to acknowledge the energy that was in the room when I arrived this evening, because I had asked last week if everyone would visualize the room and would send their love and their light into the room so that whoever came into the room throughout the week and this evening, that they would enter into that level of consciousness. And so I want to give great thanks, because when I walked in the room this evening, it was palpable to me that individuals had brought their energy into the room before we got here. So if you would like to do that, it's a wonderful practice. And if there are places that you're going to be going, for instance, Praneet goes to Santa Fe, as he is getting in the car to go, he can just move the energy down the highway. He knows it perfectly, and he can do it in 30 seconds. And then to send it to Santa Fe and to the individuals that he's going to be seeing, and so on and so forth. And part of that practice is the ever-expanding consciousness that we have, so that when we decide if we're going to send energy around the world, it's just a piece of cake, because we're so used to using our consciousness to enfold and hold all that is. That which is unfolding before us, that which has already been accomplished behind us, and what the divine is bringing unto us, we open, of course, to receive what is coming unto us as well. This evening, I wanted to go through some of the cards, as I do about every 3 weeks, to see what people have said. And for those of you who haven't been here before, what we do is this. I speak, and then if you have questions, I ask that you write them down on a 3x5 card, which is over on the table there with a pencil or a pen, and to write down your questions so that I have the questions and then I can answer them as we go along. Because some of them are, it's interesting, there'll be two or three that are almost on the same subject that people are interested in having more information around or more insight into. I also begin by reading from this extraordinary book called Love Poems from God. These are poems that have been written by mystics over the ages, and they all come from different points of view, and it can be Christian or Muslim or Sufi or whatever it happens to be. And their insights, and they're men and women, their insights are so beautiful, and the poetry is so exquisite. And the gentleman, David Ladinsky, who did the translation, did such a superb job, in my opinion, in being able to really get the essence out of and into our languaging. And often, English is not the most poetic of languages. And to try and find the poetry, to translate this poetry into English, really takes someone who has a very refined sense of vocabulary. And he is one of history's greatest mystics. His religious writings were so eloquent that they helped to evolve the German language. He was a Catholic monk and scholar who often presented his faith and spiritual understandings in sermons that were stunningly clear. And though the Catholic Church apparently feared him for his brilliance and was on the verge of bringing some kind of inquisition to him, he died before that happened. Thank goodness. When I was a stream, when I was the forest, when I was still the field, when I was every hoof, foot, fin, and wing, when I was the sky itself, no one ever asked me, did I have a purpose? No one ever wondered, was there anything I might need? For there was nothing I could not love. It was when I left all we once were that the agony began, the fear and the questions came, and I wept, and tears I had never known before. So I returned to the river, I returned to the mountains, I asked their hand in marriage again, I begged to wed every object and creature. And when they accepted, God was ever present in my arms. And God did not say, "Where have you been?" For then I knew my soul, every soul, has always held God. This is one of my favorites. This describes the state of mystical consciousness that is within all of us. It is your destiny to see as God sees, to know as God knows, to feel as God feels. How is this possible? How? Because divine love cannot defy its very self. Divine love will be eternally true to its own being, and its being is giving all it can at the perfect moment. The greatest gift God can give is his, her own experience. Every object, every creature, every man, woman, and child has a soul, and it is the destiny of all to see as God sees, to know as God knows, to feel as God feels, to be as God is. So that's our destiny. That's a pretty wonderful destiny. And in regards to that, I honor that often, at least I can only speak from my own experience, my realization around God was a gentleman, an older gentleman, sitting on a cloud with long white hair and in a white robe, looking down. Now, Michelangelo made this an archetype. It's on the Sistine Chapel, the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And when I began to have my mystical experiences, I realized that that archetype was not the truth for me, that something else was God, and it wasn't that picture. It was something so far beyond that picture that only I, through expanding my consciousness, could even become slightly aware of the magnitude, the magnificence of what is God. And there is nothing which is not God. There's nothing which is not God. And we know, as I have explained, and I will do it again, that there are things that occur upon the earth plane that we say this cannot be God. And yet, if it is all God, then we know that what has happened is that a contraction has happened within the expression of that God consciousness. And in that contraction, we know that that energy is being asked to do what? Be released into the expanded energy that it truly is. And often when we see on the earth plane the suffering, the pain, the war, the death, the incredible energies that are going on, we can say to ourselves, this can't be God. Why would God create this? And in truth, we are watching how the divine order that God is creating moment to moment will manifest itself through who? Human beings. Human beings. And we human beings have a tendency to be fairly contracted. And the part of us that's really contracted is usually our ego. And our ego is the one that says, I want what I want, what I want it. And if it wants war, it will create war. And if it wants peace, it will create peace. But most of the time, the ego says, well, peace is no fun. Nothing's happening when peace is going on. I need to stir the pot. I need to make stuff happen. I need to get out there, you know. Now, how many of us have gone through that stage? I think everybody could probably raise their hand if they're truthful. I certainly went through that stage. I said, it can't be peace. I mean, I'm a doer. I've got to do, do, do. Anybody else a doer in this crowd? I'm a doer. Okay. I am a recovering doer. I'm practicing becoming a recovering doer to the best of my ability. Now, we learn through polarity. So if the opposite pole of the doer is being, yes? Now, if you are practicing being, which is in this poem that I have just read, if we are practicing being, then we're allowing ourselves to do what? Let go of that energy of doing that is so powerful, because accomplishment just makes the ego feel so good. You know, I just accomplished that. I just did that thing. I just did that thing so good, didn't I? And everybody said, oh, you did so good. Okay, you know that one. In being, there's none of that. You know? No one says, gosh, your being was really good today, honey. The dog doesn't say, oh, mama, your being is so good that if you don't feed me soon, I'm going to bite you on the rump. No. You know? It is, how do we balance the nature of our doing and the nature of our being? How do we find that flow between these two polarities? Well, tonight, I'm leaving that subject a little bit to really talk about the presence of our soul and how we can connect with our soul ever more fully and to be able to experience our soul to the same, shall I say, extent that the ego has captured our attention, because the soul is very peaceful. And it doesn't go honk, it goes. And if you're not paying attention, you're not going to feel that. Okay? So, in the questions that some have asked, and these are about color, and I love to talk about color because the soul just loves color. When is it okay to wear red? All the time.
Is that really a question?
Get red underwear. Get red clothing. Get red nightshirts. Red. Now, as you notice, I have my glasses have a little bit of pinky red. I haven't worn a lot of red because I find that the red that I need has to have more blue than orange or yellow. That's what my soul calls for, and since it's not in vogue right now, it's hard to find. And are the fire elements okay with wearing red? Yes, indeed. The fire elements that we have within us, we couldn't live unless the temperature in our body was held at a certain temperature, and the fire within us holds that perfectly. Now, is that a miracle or what? Unbelievable. And if the temperature gets too high, we then have a fever, we have too much heat, and like some of us, I chill easily, and I have to keep warm clothes on so that I can keep that the basal temperature of my body in such an incredible degree. That's the fire inside of us that's doing that. And when you're in love, what happens to the fire? Wonga, all right, it gets nice and big, right? And the fire of love is so incredible. And often we forget that we have myriad ways of expressing that fire within us that we simply forget about. Every time and one of the reasons I hug you all is because when you hug, there is the connection of that fire. The warmth of being able to hold another person in your arms, even if it's just for a moment, is so exquisite. And it stokes that fire within our hearts, does it not? When I see a thing of beauty, that fire becomes very alive. Tonight, and if you haven't seen it, look for the moon. You can see the outline of the moon and just the sliver of light at the bottom. It is absolutely exquisite. And Michelle and I were driving over, we go, look at the moon. And the energy of the moon, though it appears to be cool, for me, I experience the moon as a very radiant energy. And when it comes upon me, it's the same as sunlight. It has such a beauty to it. So, please wear red. Okay. When visualizing, some say to see white light, and some say to see gold. What is the difference? When we are in our soul countenance, when we look upon our soul, there are radiant colors that are present in our souls. I'm assuming that everyone in this room has a favorite color. Let's raise our hands if we do. So I know everybody has at least a favorite color. All right. Now, the reason that that color might be a favorite is because when you wear it or when you look upon it, the soul is charged with the vibration of that color. It's charged with that. So when I put on turquoise or teal, my soul just goes, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I'm a water baby. So if I cannot be in the water, let me wear something close to the water, all right? If you're a fire child, then you want things that are going to express that fire energy, yes? So you have air. Now, the air energy is very light and quite transparent. So the colors that you would choose if air is dominant in your astrology chart would be something that has that airy lightness to it, yes? So black wouldn't necessarily be the color that you would resonate with, okay? So you have air and fire and water and earth. Now I have no earth in my chart at all, nary a bit. So earth tones, I don't think so. I don't resonate with them at all. But that's all right, because what I realized early in my experience of the divine was that my body had to be my earth. I had to get into my body so fully that it would be my earth. And I walk on the earth and connect with the earth through my body. That's how I stay connected, because with the kind of energy I have, I cannot fly away. I have to stay here. And to stay here, I had to have a grounding. And so, since I have no earth in my chart, down I had to go, through my feet, into the earth. And that is such an important aspect to know about yourself. What are the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water? Which ones are the dominant? Do you have all of them? Or if you lack one, then how can you bring that in so that you're balanced? This is very important as we go through our life, that we balance our energies as much as we can. And color is a very important part of that energy. Now, I adore black. I love to wear black. I love the energy of black. Years ago, I was taken into what people call the void. And I arrived in the void, and I had heard that it was like a wasteland, absolute black, and there'd be nothing there. And I arrived into the void, and I realized that it was absolutely chocked full of energy. It was astounding, the energy of the void, because it wasn't the void. And then I said, because I have to see in imagery, I'm very visual. So I asked the divine, I said, then how may I describe the void to others? And I was told the following, that if you would experience the void as the great womb of the Divine Mother, in which all creation is awaiting expression, all creation is there awaiting expression. So I came into the black, you know, not seeing anything, but experiencing the depth of this experience. And when I returned from that experience, I then realized how much I loved black, because that was the Divine Mother. That was the energy of creation in the Divine Mother that was awaiting expression. Now, many people have on black this evening. Bits of black here and there and here and there. And when you put the black on, however you put the black on, to be able to experience it as part of who you are in expressing the divine. How do you express the divine? And how is that expression moving through you? And for some people, it is simply being. That is how they express the divine within them, being. And others of us, our being flows out through our doing. The doing is a part of, shall we say, birth from that aspect of the being which we are. And as we look at our souls, we can say that the color, if there's a major color that we love in our lives, it will be in our soul. So if it doesn't embarrass anyone, I'd like to go around and ask what your favorite color is.
Oh, lavender.
Blue-green.
Lavender.
Purple.
Orange.
Green.
This color.
Salmon.
Yeah.
Black. Chinese red.
Blue. A variety of different blues.
Aqua. Periwinkle.
Teal.
Blue-black.
And turquoise. In your soul, that color is so beautifully expressing. And when you wear it, you are literally bringing into manifestation the vibration of your soul. Now, there are other colors within your soul, and those colors may be variations on the theme of the one color that you love, or there may be other colors that are intermingling with it. When I look at my soul, and I think this is, I'm just looking at the souls in the room, what I'm seeing is that there is like a pearlescent energy that is flowing down through and into all of our souls. And that is the sweetness, the nectar of energy that is within all of our souls. There is also, it's like a chimera. There's an energy that moves through all of our souls that is not in what I would call a stillness, but it's almost as though it's a chimera, a shimmering of energy that is going through all of our souls. And when we are in the presence of beauty, any beauty, it doesn't make any difference. Everybody sees beauty differently. So whatever is beauty for you, you connect to it because the beauty within your soul is connecting with the beauty of what you see outside of yourself. You understand? So the energy that we see, I don't know about you all, but in my world, I want color, I want light, I want aliveness, I want peace, I want joy. I want to feel the presence of my soul in the environment in which I live. And I want to walk upon the earth plane and see the soul of every bush and tree and rock. Everything is alive to me. There's nothing which is not alive. This table is alive, this book is alive, those shoes are alive, everything is alive. Everything is alive. There's nothing which is not alive. Now, how can that be? Because at the atomic level of every single molecule that makes up this world and this planet, guess what's there? Light in every single molecule, there is light. So everything is alive. There is, you know, you look at this and say, Mary, that's a table. That is very true. That is a table. But if I had a molecular or atomic microscope and I could take us all the way down to one molecule, therein, it would be a whole universe, actually. Every molecule is a universe. And in the universe, there's more space than there is object. And what fills that space is the light. So when everyone says to me, that's not alive, well, dears, the truth is, it is. And in every cell of your body, that light is emanating constantly, constantly. And we are looking at the light and experiencing it through the color of energies that our eyes see. And when you love color, you're going to see the most minute, exquisite, intricate aspects of light. And even in this room where the lighting is comme ci, comme ça, okay, even with that, we can see the line, the shadow, the shape, the energy. And we're aware, as we look upon each other, how that light and energy is reflecting off of us so that we can feel literally within us that which we are looking upon. I don't look at a tree and say, I don't know what that tree is. Of course I know what that tree is. That tree is me. And so is the bush, and so is the dirt. And, you know, I walk on ground and I walk on asphalt. What is the difference between the ground and the asphalt? For me, there's absolutely no difference. There is light in the asphalt because it is molecularly held together, and the earth is likewise. I do not see those filing cabinets over there as solid. I mean, they appear solid, but I know what's really going on. It has been said that if everybody on the planet said, in this moment, all of us are going to forget, not remember, and let disappear the Rocky Mountains, would they disappear?
Yes.
Yes, they'd absolutely be gone if everybody said they're going to be gone. Now, how can that be? It's because everything is illusion, darlings. Everything is illusion. None of it is real. It just looks real. And if we all agree that it's real, then it's going to be real, huh? And if we all agree that we don't need the Rocky Mountains anymore, just like that, they'd be gone. Now, we know that there are masters on the earth plane who can create all kinds of wonderful things. And they do it on a regular basis. And that's their gift. We have said one of our gifts is that as our souls, we will move and have our being upon the earth plane that will be radiant and full of four things: love, light, peace, and joy. And if we are holding the light, I mean, I grew up saying, you better hold the light. I went, hold the light, oh my God. You know, like I didn't know where it was. Hold the light, hold the light. Has anybody else heard that besides me? Hold the light. I went, okay, all right. Once I find it, I'll hold it, you know. So I went on a journey to find out where the light was. Where is it? I said, is it the light of the sun? No, that's just a representation of it. I went, representation of the light, okay. You know, I mean, it was, you know, I said, I got to find this light, man. This is a really big deal. So, and being a mystic and growing up, you know, as a child, having this sense of vision and knowing the bigger picture, being told you have to find the light. And eventually, when I first started to meditate, I sat and I said, I want to know where the light is. So if you could just please show me, I'd just be so appreciative. And the divine said, it's within you, dear. And I went, oh no, oh no, that's too much of a responsibility. I cannot hold the light. I'm not worthy of holding the light. I had real issues of unworthiness. And the divine said, no, the light is within you. The light is within you. So I had to work on my issues of unworthiness and being less than. And as I healed them, I could then hold the light, and I could respond to the light, and the light could grow, and I could be one who said, here is the light is within me. And each of us deeply, deeply holds that light, and that light never leaves us. Now that light emanates through, into, and as us because of the presence of our soul. That's the beauty and wonder of it. So when anything unfolds in my life, I want to come into it with the consciousness of the light. I do not ask what, where, why, when, who, how, what's going on. That's all ego. I want to simply be present with whatever it is and let it show itself to me. What is it that I am to hold? What is it that I am to bring unto myself and hold in gratitude that I can do that? Part of our service is not about doing, as we've talked about, our service is about being. And if that light is emanating from us and through us, and if what is coming toward us, we can see that which is the light within of whatever it is, whether it's circumstance or an individual or a situation or whatever it looks like, to be able to honor and to bless and recognize the light of that, and that our light can be one with that. Now, that it can be very challenging, but we're building our spiritual muscle so that as energies unfold, we can look at them and hold them in a different way. My early experiences of bringing the light unto me and feeling that the light was within me came about through my family of origin and the drama that was unfolding in that family of origin. And as I matured, and when I finally left home, as we all do, I realized the perfection of everything that had unfolded, and I could see the light that was within it. I could see the divine order of every single thing that unfolded from my childhood to the moment that I had the realization, the light is within me. And in so doing, everything that was less than love that I had held around that family entity, it simply fell away. It no longer existed. And anything that I moved into that did not hold the light, I said, I will hold as well. Even if it appears there is no light there, we hold the light. We hold the light. And the reflection of that light upon whatever it is makes a huge difference. A huge difference. I work with souls who are passing from the physical body and also the souls who are coming into embodiment. And I was asked to do this by the divine as part of my service on the earth plane. And so I am between the worlds of the form and the formless. And as souls are releasing from the physical body and are moving into the formless, I am the watcher of that consciousness as it is shifting from form to formlessness. And then as souls are coming forward and moving into the realm of form, then I am the watcher of that and into whatever aspect of the form that it will be choosing. And in that relationship, what I'm actually seeing is light shifting from one vibration to another vibration. And that which is changing from the vibration of the formless into the vibration of form. And to watch that awareness and hold that is all about the vibration of the light. So first we experience the light within ourselves, do we not? Then we are able, if we choose, to experience the light in all that is. There is nothing which is not the light. And we are invited to experience that. And then, once we have that experience within ourselves, we may be called upon to bring even more light upon the earth plane. Now, how does one do that? I'm going to show you one way, okay? I'll have to keep my face still while I do that so I can really show it to you. Okay, there's one way you can bring the light to the earth plane. See what that is? Okay. That's how you bring light to the earth plane. How hard is that to do? Our beloved Laura had a wonderful experience with that. Someone said to her, I don't see many people smiling, you're smiling. Okay. Now, if we could approach our life with, life would be very different. Very different. But most of us do not. I was taught, and particularly when I went to New York, man, I had the mask, and I had the protection all around me, and, you know, and it was important. I had to be real about where I was and what I was doing. I lived on the Lower East Side, and I had to, you know, travel all over the city to do the choreography and be in other people's dance companies, and it was, you know, I had to be very focused, and that was a huge learning for me. That in certain situations, it's very important that you take care of yourself. This is very important. And then there are other situations, as I found in Santa Barbara, where smiling is a really neat thing. And a lot of people smile. And every time I go to the grocery store, I always try to get in the longest line, and also the teller who looks like he or she is really down in the dumps. Just move, all right? So I go, okay, that's the one right over there, all right. So I get in this long line, you know. And while I'm in that long line, I just bless everybody in front of me. Just, you know, and I don't have to see their face. I just know their soul. Give them a blessing. Little by little, you know how you creep up. And everything that can go wrong goes wrong because you're in the longest line. But that's good. It's a really good practice. So I just, oh, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And then I get there, and here's Grump, you know. And I go, okay. And I just hold the energy, and I just say, how are you today? And they say, you know, whatever they say. And then it's $20, and I give them $20, and I give them a smile. You want somebody to help you with your car? I said, no, thank you, I don't need to. I can manage. I'll take it to the car on my own. And I know that even if I cannot get that Grump to smile, that something has happened anyway. I totally trust that, because I am fully present. And if I am fully present enough to be able to smile, then I know my heart is fully present with that individual and whatever that looks like. So my practice to being the light is in every situation to say, I get to practice now. Isn't this wonderful? Ooh, another opportunity. And if you look at it, practically every moment of your day is another opportunity to practice how the light is going to emanate through you, and how that light is going to what? Express back to you. Maybe not in that moment, but in another moment. Yes? And the day, I mean, I want to wake up with the light. So I have everything so I can see the light upon opening my eyes. And when I go to bed at night, as I complete my inner work and I am resting in this bed, which I love, then I can just feel that it's almost as though as I pull the covers up over my body, I'm actually covering myself with the light, you see? And you could try it tonight before you go to bed. Just visualize the light as a blanket upon you. And you're resting your head upon the pillow, which is light. And you're allowing that light to fill every single part of your body. And the light, which is in every single cell, is radiating and energizing and sweet and delicious. And the sleep is absolutely perfect in every way. I'm a conscious dreamer. I am dreaming. I know that I'm dreaming. I know that I'm in the dream. I am aware that everything's happening in the dream is me, even though it may look very different. And I talk in the dream and I say, oh, you know, this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. And when I first began to practice this, I was told what you need to do is take a pad and a pencil, put it by your bed. As soon as you start dreaming, immediately awake and start writing down so that you really practice consciously dreaming. And as a result of that, the light that is working in the dream time that I have is very incredible. And I have energies that are coming to me through the dream world. Now, how many of you are aware of your dreaming and are participating in your dreaming and allowing the dreaming to unfold? I really would recommend it. I would recommend it. It's an extraordinary practice. And it allows then for the dream state, which are the hours right before you awaken, for the dreams to not only become fully the messengers, which they are, but also to give you levels of revelation that you would not have had you not had that dream. And our dreams are light, okay? This is light that we're experiencing as though it were a motion picture, but we're the motion picture, we're all the actors and actresses, we're the energy that's taking place, we are the drama that's unfolding, we're everything. And so we get to sort of be the director and the actor and the blah, 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 the whole nine yards. And dreams are exquisitely beautiful. And because this whole life is just a dream, folks, right? Everybody knows that? Nod your heads up and down. Don't look too enthusiastic about that. Let's be enthusiastic about this dream that we're dreaming. We all are collectively dreaming this dream. And if you don't like what you're dreaming, then you get to change how you're dreaming. Right? You get to change that dream. You get to say, this is not the dream I want. I want to change this dream. And you can do that. This dream isn't stuck in one place. This is not a one-way street, folks. We have got huge highways. And as a friend of mine said, who lived to be 93, she said, when I started doing the work, it was like a dirt road and we were walking. And then, and because she was 90 and she started, she was probably had 60 or 70 years in the consciousness. And she said, and then it became a little kind of, you know, not a dirt road, but, you know, one-way paved road. And we were in these kind of jalopies, and it was really hard. We had to work so hard. And she said, Mary, this generation, meaning all of us who are sitting in this room, she said, you have got highways that are 10 lanes wide, and everybody is in their favorite car, a Maserati or whatever it is that you think you need to get where you're going. She said, you all are traveling at light speed in relationship to us. And I said to my friend, I said, but without you, we would never be traveling at this pace. You all did the work, and we have garnered all that you have worked to do in those 90 years, can you imagine? And now, we who are working in the energy, we have the freedom to be able to move and change the dream in an instant. An instant. Wow! Unbelievable! Now, some of you may say, she's so full of it tonight, I can't believe it. No. No, really, it's all right to be able to say, I can shift and change. I can move the energy so that it is in alignment with who I really am. We have been living lives that were often ordained by our parents, by our family entity, by our culture, by the way we were raised. We were absolutely inculcated deeply with those beliefs that this is how it's supposed to look. Now, everyone in this room has said, I believe there's another way. I wouldn't be in this room. As I have said, people can't find this room unless they want to really change. Because one of the things that we're doing is saying, we are these light beings. We are so facile in the way that we know how to move energy. We know how to do that. And it is our life's work. And we don't have to move heaven and earth. We can just... and create change. And then out of this can come more change. And if you really look at another person, how often do we really look at another person and really see who they are? Usually it's just a glance and off we go. But to really be present with the people that we're with and those who have passed, who are on the other side, darlings, they can't wait for you to acknowledge them. They can't wait for you to say, you know, I didn't tell you I loved you enough. I love you. Or, please forgive me. I missed it. I missed what was going on. But I have healed that, and now I want to send my love to you. And that love will be returned unto you, and it will come in ways that you cannot imagine. And it may come in the song of a bird. It may become the wind that moves through you when everything else is absolutely still. It may come in the way the light is moving in a particular way and only you see it. I have had these experiences where, and people who've come to my house, our house, I have these chimes. There's not a breath of wind, darlings. It is still as a stone. And if we are in the light, it begins to chime. Now, I honor each one of those things, and I realize that if we keep our attention upon that which is unfolding, we will have many, many ways of being able to experience the light and how it is moving in our worlds. And I'll give you an example. When we are present in the light, and we are doing our everyday whatever, you know, our everyday whatever. And it can be the morning, the noon, the afternoon, the night, doesn't make a difference. Just, you know, your regular, everyday kind of, I call it the doo-dah day. Every, you know, the doo-dah day of life. So, most of the time, we just do it almost out of habit, yes? We don't pay any attention. We just say, okay, now I do this, now I do that, now I do this, now I do that. And often, I realize that if I will just stop that energy and just be aware of that moment, that the light which I am will connect with whatever that miracle is that is awaiting, has been awaiting me, and I have not paid attention to it, and it will be there. And I don't need a miracle to drop me to the floor, though it has from time to time. All I want is to be able to have my own recognition of the miraculousness of that moment, the beauty of that moment, the truth of that moment, and how it has touched me where I am in my heart and my soul, and how that will reflect out into the world, however it's going to be. Now, I would suggest, if you would like, this week to, and then see what happens. And secondly, as you go through the doo-dah day of your life, just to be able to take a moment to say, I'm right here now. I want to take all of it in. I'm right here now. Most of us don't live in the here and now. Where do we live? Back there or there, ahead of us? We're not here in the here and now. We're not here in the holy instant, as they say in the Course in Miracles. The holy instant, where you're right here, and then here's the next right here, and the next right here. These are very extraordinary moments that we're living in. And the Divine once said to me, all these moments, could you imagine them as a string of pearls? And I went, ooh, how beautiful. That in each moment that is fulfilled itself, where my light and the light of that which is in the world around me has coalesced and created a moment of just sheer being, just totally being present, that it would create a pearl. And the line that would connect all of these pearls is the state of my consciousness, the state of my consciousness. And all these moments would then be upon that line of my consciousness. And at the end of life, you know, they say the pearl of great price. I meditated upon that for a long time. What happens in the pearl, and Laura will explain it probably better than myself, but there is a little, what do they call that, that starts the pearl doing its development.
Some irritation.
A little irritation. Oh my God. Does anybody else have a little irritation in their life? Raise your hand. I believe so. You mean nobody else except just the three of us sitting here? I don't think so. Please, thank you. A little irritation. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So here's a little irritation, folks. Okay. And every time you smile, and this is called, I know it's...
Nacre.
I was going to say naked, but it's not naked. It's nacre. Okay? Every time you smile, every time you're in the present moment, every time you give thanks and gratitude, every time you express your love, every time you give thanks, it doesn't make any difference what it is. But it comes from your being, and the pearl is formed moment by moment by moment. And then when it is fully realized, and you have come to a place of change, then you put that on the string of your consciousness, and your pearl is there. And one upon the other, the Divine said to me, the pearl of great price, you create it with your own energy, day unto day unto day. So how many pearls are going to be there? And I happen to love pearls, so I wear a lot of them. And I love them, and I don't care what they look like. And the gnarlier they are, the more precious they are to me. Because I know that that nacre, is that it?
Yeah.
That nacre had to go... It couldn't just go, no, shine, you know, over the hill and down the river and through the woods and to grandmother's house to create these extraordinary gnarly pearls. So, We are in a process of creation all the time from the place of our being. If you need to lie down, please do. You all right? So you want to create through each day. And at the end of the day, wouldn't it be fun if all of us in this room said, wow, look what we did today. And we just put that pearl on that string. Wouldn't that be wonderful to recognize what has happened in the day that has, and you can do it in all four of your bodies, which is marvelous. You don't have to do it in just one body. You can do it within your spiritual body, your mental body, your emotional body, and your physical body. All four bodies can contribute to that level of consciousness that you bring to the pearl that you're creating. And in so doing, each of your bodies will then be light-filled. Many people just don't want to be in their bodies. Well, part of our work that we're doing is to exemplify being in our bodies. Really being, that's the key word, in our bodies. And to love our bodies and to honor our bodies, because this is a pearl of great price right here. And every aspect of this physical body we chose. We chose it before we came in embodiment. When we were still in the formless, we said, okay, this time I want this kind of body. And the divine said, what? You got it. So what kind of eyes you want? What kind of ears you want? What kind of hair you want? You know, what do you want? What do you want that will allow you to have the greatest exponential growth in your consciousness? In your consciousness. And these bodies are so magnificent. They already know who they are. It's just that we have wound ourselves around in there in peculiar ways. And so they become what they become. But these bodies are so extraordinary. And they're carrying the light. Whether we even put our attention upon it or not, they're carrying the light. Because we are all soulful. We are soul-filled. We cannot say, I'm going to extract my soul now. I don't think so. No, we're here for the whole nine yards, okay? And when we allow our bodies to be able to carry this energy and so lovingly embrace our bodies that we say, this is the choice that we've made. We have chosen everything about it. And now we will be one with it. We will not run from it. We will not ignore it. We will be one with it. And in so doing, something else can happen. And for all of us, I mean, I really enjoy being in a body. I really do. I mean, but you know, I'm a quadruple Scorpio, so what can I tell you? I mean, I like a lot of stuff, you know? And that's the deal. And I just love this little old body, you know? And I ask a lot of it. But I prepare for what I ask for, too. I say, I need to prepare you to be strong. I need to prepare you to be flexible. I need to prepare you. I cannot ask it of you when I have not done my own homework to prepare the way. That would not be mindful. That would be completely not mindful. So in preparing, then I can move forward and my instrument will move forward with me. And I want the light to be fully expressing all the way through me. Not just, and I know mystics who are I call them mental body mystics. They can just fly off and go into all these wonderful realms. But from here down, they're not there. Do we really want to fully embody the light which we are? And you may say, you know, I'm not interested in doing that. And that's just fine. Whatever the work is that you're doing, that's the perfect work for you. And the next time you come, before you come in embodiment again, because we're all going to come in embodiment again, when we come into embodiment again, we're going to say, you know, last time, I just really didn't quite get that physical body thing. So let's do a whole new whammer-jammer with that, and let's see what happens. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the questions that's asked here is about having other lives going on at the same time that you're in this embodiment. I have another embodiment that I'm in. She's also a woman that is going on simultaneously with this embodiment. And there's no confusion, but at the end of the day, when I scan my day, which is something I've talked about, I realize that I'd scan her day too. So I scan her day, and you know, and we don't talk. I'm sure she watches me, and I watch her. And the first time when I discovered this, I thought this is very peculiar. I mean, I feel like I'm really normal, but I'm a little peculiar. Okay, so this little peculiar thing is happening over here. And when I talked to other people about it, several of them said, "Oh yeah, you know, I have this other lifetime going on right over here," and I have, you know, and I went, "Oh, this is very wonderful." And I don't usually go up to someone and say, "Hi, I'm Mary. So do you have another lifetime going on?" I have to get to know them pretty well before I ask the question. Unless they offer it up, because I sort of hint that there's something else going on. Now, this may not be the case with any of you in the room. I don't know. And that's all right. I bring it up because there are so many levels of potentiality within the earth plane experience. Okay? Many of us did have experiences that were very mystical in their energies when we were children. We did have them. But we either had no one to talk to, or when we spoke about it, we were told, that didn't really happen, or that doesn't count. Okay? And we became fearful of being able to talk about what we were experiencing within ourselves or outside ourselves. And when we would feel that the trees were speaking to us, when we would feel that the water was alive and there was energy in the water that no one else was paying attention to, and I would see that and I'd go, you know, it's alive and it's got energy and this and that and the other. So to honor that each of us has a very specific thing that we're doing here, and it all comes from our being. So the doing arises from the being, not the doing becoming more doing. Do you understand? Doing can create just more doing, and you get on the treadmill of the doing, and the being just disappears. But if the doing arises out of our being, then there can be a balance between the being which we are and the doing that we are about. And that's what we want to create. And often it is the beauty that we seek, so that our being will rest in the beauty, and that which we are doing will rest in the beauty, and not be something that is separate from who we really are. Here is the light, and the light is everywhere, everywhere. And as we acknowledge that, it becomes more and more apparent, does it not? And it comes unto us in ways that we could not imagine. Right now, there are hawks that are singing their song up where we live, and maybe you all have been hearing them. And every time they make that extraordinary sound, it's like the cry of consciousness, you know, and they're saying, "Wake up, here I am, I'm flying high," and I go, "Far out, how do y'all do that?" You know, it's just incredible to me. So I asked the Bird Kingdom, I said, "So how come y'all are doing that? You know, I mean, it's pretty extraordinary, and I'd just like to know why you're doing that." And the Bird Kingdom said to me, "It is to inspire you to raise your vibration higher and higher and higher. And so we fly higher and higher and higher, so that you may see the potential of raising your vibration." And I just got down on my knees and I said, "Thank you 1,000 times over." I said, "I will never, ever not raise my vibration, even if it's just infinitesimally small on a day where there's a lot going on. I'll say, I will raise my vibration. I will raise my vibration." And every day, little by little by little. Every time you do your practice, darlings, as I said, you lay down that thin sheet of rice paper. Great Qigong master, I'll repeat this story again and again because it's so beautiful. He said, every time you do your practice, you lay down one thin sheet of rice paper. Every time you do your practice. And at the end of your lifetime, you stand upon the mountain that you have created. Now, every time you lay down one thin sheet of rice paper, darlings, you raise your vibration, do you not? And in the raising of vibration, you come into the great at-one-ment. That's what happens. So, let us look for the birds tomorrow, okay? Listen for the song. Whichever the bird might be, doesn't make any difference. It just has to be hawks where we are. and allow that sense of flight. I mean, my soul soars as they are soaring. The energy rises as they rise. And I feel that energy of aliveness, because birds express such extraordinary aliveness. And at the ground level, I have my lovely dog. Her name is Elkie. And Elkie is just, as practically every dog I've ever known, a love bug. She is so full of love. And she is the constant reminder of love, 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 love. So when I go from my home, I know not only am I fully loved by my beautiful Michelle, but I am also loved by this extraordinary being. And can I be as loving as they are and go into the world and just be that love? So if we could just practice this week, just being that love, and see what happens. And if nobody smiles back, do we give up? Nay, she said. Nay, nay, absolutely not, we do not. We say we have to double our efforts. You know? And okay, let's see what that looks like. For me, because I'm a very joyful person, if it's not joyful, I don't want to do it. And the only one who's going to make it joyful is who? Moi. I'm the only one. Each one of us is responsibility. Our responsibility is around our joy. You know, how joyful can we be? And what will that look like? And response or no response is not what we go for. It is who we are in our being. Yes? And how beautiful that is. So, I'm going to answer one more question and then we'll sit. I mean, I love some of these questions. They're divine. Oh, I didn't even answer this question. Don't you love that? I'm so good at this, I can't believe it. So glad y'all write this stuff down. Okay, I'm going to answer this question, this is cute. Okay. When visualizing, some say to see the white light, some say to see the gold light. What is the difference? None. Okay. Does that help? Okay. Now, what is... So... If you have gold light, does that mean one thing and white light mean another? Well, actually, from my point of view, since it's all illusion anyway, you can choose any color you want. Okay? Any color you want. You want red light, green light, blue light, any kind of light will do. It's the light that counts because you then are bringing the light into whatever you're doing. So, you know, it doesn't make any difference what color it is. And if you love gold light, just ask for the gold light. Just say, I want the gold light, and you will have the gold light. You want the white light? I want the turquoise light. Okay. Whatever it is. You see, we are the creator. Our soul deeply wishes to create in the light through us, however that is. And each of us will do it differently. And if you say, you know, I'm not really interested in this light thing, no problem. The light's going to be there whether you want it there or not. I'm sorry. But if you say, I'm just not going to be active with the light, that's fine. There's no requirement. You don't have to. But if it makes your heart sing, if you delight in seeing the smile upon another's face and a smile upon your face, then why not be the light? Why not? It costs us nothing, nothing. And yet it is the most precious and extraordinary gift that we have. Is what the light is and how we can be this light and express this light. The touch, the embrace, the look of love, the smile, the hearing, the listening, the capacity to be present with another, no matter what, no matter what. It's great. It's absolutely marvelous. And we live in a miraculous time. Everything, if any of y'all know astrology, for the next 4 years, is it, darling?
No, another 3.5.
3.5, pardon me. Another 3.5 years, there is an energy field that is available to every single person on the planet, and it is very powerful. So if you want to start moving some energy, boy howdy, everything is lined up to make that happen for you. And you do not have to have anything else going on than just your desire to express the light. And it will express through you. The way it is meant to. You don't have to think about it. As long as it is in your consciousness. And when I say think about it, I'm talking about the left side of your brain where your ego conscious mind is already saying chit-chat, right? Doing its little yakety-yak. What I'm speaking of is the consciousness that we carry, which is beyond the mind. Okay? Yes. Now, let us sit together. I'd like to make the calls. And for those of you who haven't been here in a while, I have the calls that I make before we sit, and then when we complete sitting, I have some calls that I make at the end. So that will be new for some of you. I'd like to make the calls. I call now for the light of the divine to create a perfect circle of love, light, peace, and joy around all who are present here in the physical and also on the inner planes. I wish to acknowledge and give thanks for all souls who gather to be with us, whether in or out of embodiment, and for the radiance in which we find ourselves. Thank you. I call now for the infilling and indwelling of the divine within all of our bodies, planes, and cells. I acknowledge and give thanks for this, and for the divine consciousness that is available to us 24 hours a day unceasingly. Thank you. I call now that we enter into the serene center of our being within our hearts. And there we enter the silence, allowing ourselves to fall more deeply still in love with the divine which we are. Thank you. And I open my heart, and I bring you, Gaia, beloved Mother Earth, into my heart. Thank you, Gaia, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love, which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. Thank you, Gaia, for loving us and nurturing us through each and every one of our embodiments. Thank you, Mother. I love you. And I open my heart and I bring you, beloved elementals of earth, air, fire, and water, into my heart. Thank you, beloved elementals, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love which is expressing in you, through you, and as you. And thank you for your union and communion with Mother Earth and your union and communion within every cell of our physical body, for without your presence, we could not exist upon the earth plane. Thank you. I love you. And I open my heart and I bring the whole of humanity into my heart. Thank you, beloved souls. All souls who are in the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. All souls who are leaving the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. And all souls who are coming into the embodiment now, thank you. I love you. And to my soul, thank you. I love you. Thank you, dear beloved souls, for the exquisite manifestation of divine love, which is expressing in you, through you, and as you.